right, let's do some college basketball with Kevin Lehman, longtime coach turned broadcaster. It's a good thing for us because we love having him on our show. Kevin, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to some great matchups this week in the Valley, the Big 12, and the Big 10.
All right, let's start first with you went, and I think you called the Drake game at Loyola. Is that correct?
No, I had Bradley and Northern Iowa this past
week. Oh, okay, you had the Northern Iowa game. Okay, I knew you had one of these state teams. All right, with what you witnessed in that game, where is Northern Iowa? We'll just start with them right now, and then we'll move to Drake and then go to Iowa and Iowa State. Where is UNI right now in your mind?
Well, Jimmy, they're the same spot they've been since this league season began. They're struggling to find answers on offense and to find consistency. And what happened to them prior to Bradley is those offensive issues caused problems with that defense, which has been their staple for years. They played really well defensively against Bradley, and they got a huge lift offensively from Wyatt Lowhouse, who hit six triples. He was a bucket maker. He went Reggie Miller on him, is what he did.
You know, defense is maybe taking a step back from what we're used to, but offensively, the Panthers have really struggled this year. And in particular, Juwan McLeod, and seeing him, you know, this summer in the PTL, I thought he was going to have a big step forward. That hasn't happened. You know, is that the long-term fix at the point guard spot, or Coach Jake with some openings in the scholarship pool, could he maybe look to the JUCO ranks or look in another direction at point guard? Because McLeod, he's not shooting, and it's two straight years now of this.
Well, first of all, never take anything out of that primetime league.
Yeah.
Into the season, is not a predictor of future success. Let's put it that way. The primetime league, but remember, Trent, they got AJ Green coming in next year.
Mm-hmm.
Their first top 100 signee. I think that's going to be their answer at the point guard position in the future. And Juwan McLeod, it's been interesting the last couple games. His minutes have gone down. He had 10 when they played Drake the first time around. And he didn't play a whole lot here against his. So you're seeing Coach Jake. He's looked for different answers. We've seen against Bradley, you saw Haldeman, Lowhouse, and a lot of Hunter Rhodes at the point guard position. So Coach Jake is looking for some answers, too, at the offensive end.
Have you been able at all to put your finger on why UNI, after they had that real nice run in non-conference, has just kind of lost it during the conference? Is there anything that you could tell our listeners, Kevin, with what you have seen, why they just went south?
Jimmy, don't have what we call a bucket maker. A guy can go get them a basket when they're in a lull, a Wes Washburn-type guy that they've had in the past. Last year, Jeremy Morgan, they could get you a basket when you need one. They don't have that this year. They got to run offensive sets, try to get Cook a touch inside, and people have got the number on Bennett Cook. They get real physical with him and beat him up. I thought after that Indiana State game, they're going to have to take him to the hospital and get him checked and stitched up because he got beat up bad in that game. And that's kind of what people are doing now to him. But they don't have a guy that can scorch you off the dribble like Wes Washburn could do, or Jeremy Morgan, who could score at all three levels. That created some offensive issues for them.
Can Taiwan Pickford develop into that guy? Does he have enough ability off the bounce to be, you know, a guy? We know he's strong. He rebounds incredibly well. And I think he'll be able to shoot it going forward probably better than he's shown this year. But do you think he has the kind of handles to turn into that guy?
He's a little. We talked about that before the Bradley game. I don't think he's that type of player. I think he's a complimentary guy who's going to be a steady, possibly a double-double guy. But if you put a person like A.J. Green, hopefully a guy that like Wes Washburn was, he can really feed off those people because Taiwan Pickford doesn't really have a pull-up game. He's going to beat you with power to the basket, back cut it, and he goes in there and gets the offensive glass as well as any freshman we've seen. I think he's one rebound away from getting 200 rebounds as a freshman. He's the 14th guy in the Valley. He's about six rebounds away from passing Eric Coleman as the best freshman rebounder in UNI history. So he's kind of a power guard, is what Taiwan Pickford is.
Kevin Lehman is our guest right here on the Big Talker 1700. Okay, take me to Drake. Reed Timmer is having a terrific season, but they need more than Reed Timmer. Where is Drake right now?
You know, Jimmy, I thought about this morning. I think if they can get to 10-8, if they can finish 3-2 in these last five games, that will be huge for this Drake program. Because you got to go back, I think, 2012 before they were even ever in the top echelon, the top half of the Valley. So for Nico Medvin to get them to that 10-8 mark would be huge. So tomorrow against Northern Iowa is a huge game because they've got to win to protect home court. If they can go 3-2, I think that's huge. And for tomorrow, it's going to be – I had them against Northern Iowa in Cedar Falls. They got off to a 16-point lead. Then it kind of became shoot the three and run back. And the threes weren't going in. So tomorrow what they have to do, they have to get the pace of play where they want it. And they've got to get transition baskets. They've also got to keep attacking the rim. They can't fire three and run back on D. They got to attack the interior of Northern Iowa's defense. And we've seen people do that. I think Drake's offense set to do that, to attack what we call the second and third side, to attack the gaps of that defense. So this is going to be a pretty good matchup tomorrow when the Panthers come into Napster on Forest Avenue, because there's a huge alumni base of Northern Iowa Panthers. And right. I also see that Drake Bulldogs are bringing back their 2008 NBC team that had Adam Emenecker and that other group, Josh Young, Bucky O'Connor, those guys on that game, on that team. So it'll be rocking in the Napster.
Kevin. Okay, let me just ask him one quick more on Drake. Okay, with Larry Eustace apparently out at Colorado State, Nico Medved's name has been mentioned for that job. Is that way too soon, or could you see him if he interviews and it's offered? Do you see him jumping just after 1 year?
You know, that's a great question, Jimmy, because I was reading about Eustace this morning and the problems he's had, and it sounds like he might be out today. And, of course, you always look at who has a history there, and Nico was an assistant there with Eustace, and then Nico has had he's shown that he can win. Not at Drake, he's got a short window here in 1 year, but he won at Furman. So he's going to be a name that's going to be kicked around for that. I don't know. Is he going to leave Drake after 1 year? Because they got some momentum going at Drake. That's a great question, and something that we should follow here down in the next couple of weeks as this thing develops at Colorado State.
Larry Eustace makes $910,000 a year. I'm going to guess Drake doesn't pay that much. Colorado State's come calling with something like that.
That's a good reason to follow this issue. Because, you know, in this league, in this game, money talks. Have you heard the new legislation that they're saying if a coach leaves, the players could all leave without having to sit out?
Yes. If a coach leaves, then you're wide open. You can go, you just can't follow your coach. I personally like it.
Well, think what that's going to do to coaching salaries and coaching buyouts. Mm-hmm. Because if Fred Hoiberg left and this rule left Iowa State and this rule is in effect, basically, George Niang, Monte Morris, Nazmi Trulong, Matt Thomas would become free agents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as an AD, you got to lock your head coach up.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. All right, Kevin, let's jump over to the two big in-state schools, Iowa State. They welcome in Oklahoma, and our state's opportunity to see Trae Young. We did get to see Kevin Durant when he was at Texas. We do get to see Trae Young. Cyclones have played well at home. What do you think their chances are tomorrow against the Sooners?
I think these next two games, Oklahoma and Kansas, I have a feeling the Cyclones are going to get one. And I'm basing that off what I saw them do against West Virginia. It sounds like Nick Weiler-Babb may be done, maybe for the year. At least we know he's not going to be back for these next couple games. But I think the Cyclones can get three more conference wins to end this season. And to do that, they've got to win one of these next two. So don't be surprised. I'm putting an upset alert. I'm going to put over two games, Oklahoma and Kansas. I only think they're going to get one of those games.
Mm. Really? Wow. Okay. All right. Babb is not playing against Oklahoma, but he did get a clear MRI, but they are still uncertain when he would return to the lineup. So even without Babb on the floor, even with a short bench like what Steve Prohm had to operate with at Texas Tech, where they hung around for 35 minutes and then got worn down and foul trouble, and they end up losing the game big. You think that they could still find a way just because? Are you going Hilton magic here? Or do you think that the entire team will just play better because they're back on home court?
Well, that's part of Hilton magic, Jimmy. You're going to play better at home. I'm kind of looking back at what they did against West Virginia. Of course, West Virginia tried to press them, and Steve Prohm's press attack was brilliant. To me, the key for Iowa State is they cannot turn the basketball over. 15 turnovers at Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. You cannot do that. They gave up 22 points off those turnovers, and they still were kind of in that game late. But that puts a lot of pressure on Donovan Jackson, a lot of pressure on Lindell Wigginton. Now, Lindell had 7 turnovers at Tech. Those two have to really tighten up their ability to handle the basketball and also be scorers. So it's a lot to ask of them to do that, and you got to get a big game out of Salomon Young. Cameron Lard is a star in the making. Salomon Young's got to really be a force inside.
Wrapping up our conversation, Kevin Lehman. It's presented by Washer Systems of Iowa. Kevin, let's jump to the Hawkeyes. They got a road trip on tap. Michigan State had that game, had an opportunity to pull off the win. Couldn't do it, but that's some positives, I guess, you can take away from it. Now you go on the road, a place that the Hawkeyes have struggled, and take an Ohio State team on that is playing some of the best basketball in the country right now, including that road victory against Purdue. Letdown spot, do you give the Hawks an opportunity here?
I think it's a bad matchup. I think the Buckeyes are a bad matchup for the Hawkeyes because of Bates Diop, Deshaun Tate. I just think they're hard for the Hawkeyes to guard. And when you look at that Michigan State game, guys, Michigan State was their fourth game in about 9 days. That was a tired Spartan team. Mm-hmm. But I will give the Hawks this. They did not turn the basketball over. They won what you call the lower box. They had more points off turnovers, more points in the paint, which has been rare for this Iowa team. Their defense is getting better. But I think we look at Michigan State, you can see that, hey, this team will scare some people in a Big Ten tournament, the Iowa Hawkeyes, because they can score points. If they can find a way to stop paint, points in the paint, and to shore that up and handle the basketball better, they got a chance to get a couple wins here and maybe a little momentum. But, you know, their defense travels. Their defense, they have not had a defense to travel with.
Always good, pal, when we catch up with you. That's Kevin Lehman. We're talking college basketball. Thank you, man. You have a good weekend.
Oh, and we got a big one, guys. Purdue, Michigan State. That'll be one I'll be keeping
yep.
to watch.
Yeah, be very, very good. Thanks for your time,
that'll
Kevin.
That'll be fun.
We'll recap that and a lot more next week. Thanks for your time.
Okay, have a good one.
That is Kevin Lehman joining us here today. Jimmy B., we will come back on the other side. Well, I'll come back. I'm going to give you a little break here. I got Wolfgang stopping by. I'm going to talk with him.
Okay.
He'll take over the microphone, and then we'll reconvene, and we'll make some picks on the games this weekend. We'll take a look at Iowa, the Iowa State, and, of course, the UNI-Drake matchup, get some picks on that. That Michigan State-Purdue game, we'll hit on that as well. All coming up here as we take you up until 6 o'clock. We got high school hoops on the airwaves tonight. Waukee and Ankeny Centennial, a girls-boys doubleheader right after we go off the air at 6 o'clock. All here on 1700. Back with you once again. We got Wolfgang joining us here for this segment on Jimmy B and TC. All right, Wolfgang. So we see Iowa over the week. They play well against Michigan State, at least well offensively, and drop a tight one to the Spartans. I think it shows us, they're pretty cool. You know, they're when they're playing like that, they can score, but it's still the defensive end. I mean, 2 dunks right away as that are still waiting to cut away from the game. Just your takeaway. Your takeaway from Tuesday night, the close loss to Michigan State.
I had some serious fun watching that game.
Yeah.
Because it's just like we've been down on the team for a while now, and we're like, what? I mean, there's got to be hope.
We didn't get the W. We got the L. But if you're sitting there watching that, it was fun to watch. The crowd was a little bit into it. You're going in the back of your mind if you're a Hawkeye fan, and maybe you're a homer, or maybe you're not. But most Hawkeye fans I heard and talked to were positive about that game. You're thinking, how far are we really off? I mean, are we just being terrible fans? Are we just being suckers? Are we just totally just poo-pooing everything that's going on over there, and that a few players can make a difference? What if Iowa had two more point guards? Like they will, or what if they had McCaffrey for next year? How much is that going to impact? We just played with the number four team in the nation, a team that I think, the guy that was doing the game. What's his name from Indiana?
Dan Dockich, your buddy?
Thank you. Yeah, yes, my boy, Dockich, who blocks everybody that has an opinion that isn't his. And people coming at me, it's like he has to have a 100% opinion on everything, or he doesn't feel like he has an opinion. It's okay to be in the middle on something, but he's like always 100% positive or always 100% negative. It gets a little old. But watching him, I think he said he's going to pick Michigan State to win it all. And if you look at that team, they have tons of talent. Tons of talent, a little bit of experience here and there, NBA draft picks, and, oh, yeah, an unbelievable coach. It's going to be interesting to see what's going on. I'm kind of getting sick of following the – I don't know if that's right to say or not, but the whole – It kind of brings me down, the whole Michigan State stuff and the Olympic stuff. And I don't know, probably like you do, Trent, what's going on over there. But if they can get through all this, which who knows if they can? Who knows? Maybe they'll suspend Izzo. Maybe they'll suspend D'Antonio. Maybe they'll – who knows? Who knows what's going to go on over there? But if they can get it and actually do something in the tournament with this kind of stuff that's going on in their program right now, with everybody looking at them, and it's not just sports, Trent. It's like the Today Show and Good Morning America and Fox News and CNN and MSNBC. Everybody's following this stuff. If they're able to get through this and stay focused, look out. Because if you're looking at Michigan State, Trent, I'm excited about how we played them. And is it just one game? Yes. And if they played five games, I think, is it in 12 games, 12 days, Trent? So you could say, oh, they were tired. And if you watch that end of the game, when they decided to lock down, whoopsie-daisy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We didn't have anything. And I want to bring this up to you again. We never, and I mean never, Trent, should milk the clock on offense.
Completely agree.
I'll let you go. I've talked way too long. I'm interested in your opinion before I even throw my opinion out there. I'm sick and tired of that. Please, you go.
No, you knocked it out of the park. That is completely correct. And this isn't just with this Iowa basketball team. This is Iowa basketball in general. I mean, you go back, and I always talk about the Fran fade in February. You know, the three Fs that come up seemingly every single year. Now, this year's a little bit different because, well, there hasn't been anything to fade to. But you go back throughout those seasons, and that's the one thing. The offense, it gets tight. They have a lead. They don't play well with it. Tight game late. They don't play well because they're not playing their style. Their style is up-tempo. Their style is to get up and down the floor. But for whatever reason, historically, Fran's teams do that in those tight spots, and it drives you up the wall because they shouldn't play that way. That is not where they're at their best. They don't play their best basketball. They're not a grind kind of team. You knocked it out of the park. Wolfgang, that might be the best thing I've ever heard you say on radio.
Well, Trent, oh, you wait, buddy. There's more coming. It's essentially a turnover, right?
Yes.
It's essentially a turnover. It's not, because it's not considered one, but you're throwing up some jacked-up shot at the end of a shot clock, and we don't have anybody that can break you down off the dribble. If we did it, I'd be okay. If we had a guy like Tyler Ulis back in the day or a guy that could break you down off the dribble, create, have guys, you know, come in, and you dish it to somebody open, you get a wide-open shot, fine. We don't have those guys on our team, Trent. So it's essentially turnover every time we decide to bleed that clock. Oh, here goes, 8 seconds, let's start our offense. That's not how it works with this team. And he has to know that, Trent. He has to.
And he does. I mean, I give Fran credit. He knows this.
Why? Why do you think he knows this?
Because he's a basketball guy. He's coached for 40 years. He knows this.
He's also the guy that we found out doesn't really play much defense or doesn't practice much defense. a few years ago before that. We found out that, yeah, he doesn't really practice, from his own words, rebounding drills. Okay? Again, I will say we were one of the best teams in college basketball on inbounds play. I will say that. But if you looked at that first half, how we were still in it, Trent, they were shooting 59% plus from field goal range. 50% from three and 92-ish from free throw. It ended up close to that, not the same, but 54 field goal, and I'm not sure on three-point free throw, but three-point was pretty high as well. You have to play defense, and I don't know how many times we're going to have to say that before we see it. And you could say he's a basketball coach, so he knows it. What does that mean? So he knows it and can't teach it? You tell me. What needs to be done? You are Gary Barter, and I had somebody tweet at me, and I wish I could find that right now, because it was actually a really good tweet, and it was basically the success Gary Barter has had over since 2010. Here it is. Gary Barter, he's led the Iowa Athletic Department since 2010, Trent.
Mm-hmm.
He's overseen four championships, regular season or tournament, in three different sports. Baseball, wrestling, and track. Four championships since 2010. Okay, got that?
Mm-hmm.
In that same time, Northwestern has won 13 championships.
Whoa. That's a whoa.
This is the kind of stuff that, man, you know, I'm sitting here looking at, like the top 25, Trent. I'm looking at, you know, am I being too hard on Iowa, or am I not being hard enough on Iowa? You look at the top 25, I dare you to look that up right now. And look at some of the teams that are on there, Trent, and you go, you know what, I will never say I'm being too hard on the Iowa program again. You look at some of these top 25 teams, you've got Xavier, who's been awesome for a while, but Xavier, for God's sake, they're number five. Cincinnati is number six. Cincinnati. Texas Tech is seven. Okay, can we beat Texas Tech, Trent? Is that possible? Right behind Texas Tech is Auburn. They're at number eight, ahead of a team called Duke. You ever heard of them?
Pretty good.
Then you got St. Mary's at 11, Gonzaga. Why in God's green earth people go to Gonzaga? I have no idea. You don't play anybody the whole year? How does he do it over there in Gonzaga, but we can't get it done in Iowa on a consistent basis over there? You got Tennessee at 15, Tennessee, Clemson at 16, Rhode Island at 18. And I'm just looking at some of these. Wichita State. So Wichita State can do it, but Iowa can't. I'm starting to believe in some of these people. Nevada. For God's sakes, Nevada, isn't it? Nevada at 23. Miami of Florida at 25. None of them care about basketball out there. I've been out in Miami plenty of times. They don't care about college sports. They could give a damn. Why can't Iowa do this? And I'm starting to lean towards these people that I've talked to that think that I'm a little bit too mushy and give the coaches too much credit and blah, blah, blah. Because I'm sitting here looking at this top 25 trend. Dude, if they can do it, why can't Iowa do it? I'm trying to feel like I'm a wuss and just maybe too easy on the coaches and too easy on Gary Barta. I don't know. Am I just in a bad mood because we lost the Michigan State game, Trent?
You might be, because just 2 years ago, Iowa was right there with those teams. For a month straight, they were ranked in the top 10, including three straight weeks ranked in the top five in the country. For a couple days, they were the number one KenPom team in the country. That was just 2 years ago. Just 2 years ago, Wolfgang. So they have been there. They have been one of those teams that have jumped up. The problem is, well, the free and fade came and the disappointing end to those seasons. But they have been there, Wolfgang. They have. And this is something I went around and around with somebody on Twitter the other night about this is they said, well, my expectation, because it comes down to expectations. What are your expectations for this program? And they say, well, I don't have huge expectations, but I figure they should be able to contend for a Big Ten title every, I don't know, 5, 7, 8 years, whatever it is. Sure, they have. They have.
Yeah, you're right.
They finished in the top three in the Big Ten three consecutive years. They hadn't done that since the 1980s. They finished with three straight NCAA tournaments with that group, something they hadn't done since the early 90s. The expectations are out of whack. They have been there. They have done these things. They have been Texas Tech this year. They have been Dayton. Mm-hmm. They have been Tennessee. Those programs, SMU. Yep. Iowa has been there. It's just the frustration of what's happened this season, I think, is clouding the judgment of many.
And I think we should do this another time and be serious on this. because, you know, obviously I'm a, you know, I'm a fan of just watching sports. I hope I'm never not that way, but I also like to actually bring, like, stats and stuff to back up my opinion, because it's easy to, I mean, if you're just emotional, who cares? But at some point, once you bring up expectations, and that's why the coaches hate that crap, Trent. That's why they hate, you know, saying, oh, yeah, we're going to be really good this year. There was one year when Kirk did that, and then they ended up sucking, and it kills you. Mm-hmm. It kills you. So I understand why the Lou Holtzes of the world and Kirk Ferentz or whoever of the world poo-poo the expectations. Why? Because that gets you fired. And it's true. It's true on anything. The expectation things get you fired. But, yeah, I agree with you. I don't – we have been there with some of these teams. You're totally right. But when I see an Auburn at number 8, I'm just like, what? Or a Texas Tech at 7. Mm-hmm. I can't handle this. And I know a lot of people that don't know college basketball, Xavier has been good for a long time.
Yes.
I'll have to look that up. Remember, I brought that up last year, the Sweet 16s that they did, mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. I can't remember it off the cuff. But, you know, you got Xavier, Cincinnati, Texas Tech, and Auburn, 6, 7, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is just, Iowa can do it. Keep your in-state guys, because Iowa State doesn't seem like they want them. Okay? Doesn't seem like they want them. And go guards. You're watching this. Did you see Duke, North Carolina yesterday and the talent on that court? And did you see the fan base for North Carolina? When did that change? Okay, you watch a lot of college basketball, Trent.
Yes.
As do I. I don't remember North Carolina's crowd being like that for a Duke, North Carolina game.
They've
been known as the wine and cheese club.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I mean? What's his name? They said Sam Cassell said that a number of years ago. Played for Florida State, one of the best clutch players in the NBA you've ever seen. He looked like a piece of bleep, like he never hit the weight room.
He was an alien. He looked like an alien.
He did. He was so good, though.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable in the last bleepity-bleep minutes of the game. That guy would just get stuff done, and he talked smack, and he didn't care. He had no conscience. But my question was, did you see that crowd from North Carolina? Was that different? Did Roy Williams call them out or something? Because he has in the past. He's called them out and said, you know, I think we've got, he hasn't said snobby, he hasn't said spoiled, but it's been close to that. Was there something that came about with that North Carolina crowd yesterday? Because I'm sitting there watching with my gal, and she's like, this crap's great.
I don't know. Offhand, and it's a good point because, yeah, you wonder if something was said, you know, some localized story that obviously isn't a national thing, but Roy either said, hey, we really need the crowd. And you know, the crowd the last couple Duke games just hasn't been what I grew up. You know, something like that. You know, old Roy boy out there, po' boring and everything. I could see that being the case. But offhand, no, I didn't hear, you know, if there was something. Because you're right.
So did you see it, Trent?
Yeah, that was.
So you heard it as well.
Right
that
from the tip-off. From the tip-off. It flipped on at 7 o'clock and it's bouncing. It's like, okay, it's early Carolina game. You get it a little bit. But it just continued. It continued throughout. I was surprised by it. What a fun, entertaining game that was last night.
Oh, my God.
Both teams have some problems. Duke on the defensive end certainly isn't great, but that was just high-level basketball, two rivals. It's as good as it gets. It really is. And having Jay Billis there instead of Dick Vitale, count me as somebody that enjoyed that.
Now, real quick, see, we like Dick Vitale. The family here knows him back in Florida. They used to see him at breakfast and get in. He'd talk out and have write his books and everything. What's happened to him? Is he struggling health wise? Do you know? Because the family here loves him. He's a great guy. Personally, I know we maybe don't like him from time to time. I haven't seen him on a lot of games. Have you?
No, he's still out there, still doing his thing. He just is not the number one anymore. He's, you know, down the pecking order a little bit. So
yeah, he is.
He's not going to get Duke Carolina, and I know he was disappointed about that. I believe he talked about that after he was kind of moved down a little bit. But, yeah, he's still out there, still doing as many games as before probably, but just a small step back from what we saw before, which is good, which is okay, because I still like Vitale. But
I do, too. Our family does.
Doses.
He's a great guy.
He was doing Kentucky-Tennessee the other night, and
okay.
Right before the Iowa-Michigan State game, and that's a good spot for him. That's a good spot. I don't need him for the best of the best, but that next tier game, and I'll stay tuned maybe even a little bit longer if I get Dickie V on the call.
Yes, and at some point he has to come around with the with the coaching thing, and I get sick of these sticking up for coaches at every point in the, you know, game, and now he's like he loves Patino and blah blah blah. He's out there in Miami at a steak shop and tweeting out photos of him and Patino. Fine, it's great and all dandy, but I get a little annoyed with that, just 100% sticking up for Patino. But I will agree with him. I don't understand how coaches are supposed to know everything, Trent. I don't know how they're supposed to know what their kids are doing at all times. So I do agree with that at some point, but at some point you got to say, yo, Rick Pitino, come on, some of this is on you. And he's not willing to do that, Trent.
Yes.
He's just not. So anyway.
All right, so from college basketball, what we saw, to what we're going to see over the weekend, Iowa, they go out to one of the stories of college basketball, Ohio State, and what Chris Holtmann has done, that victory against Purdue earlier this week on the road, down really throughout the game, coming back, grinding out a victory, highly impressive. Letdown spot for the Buckeyes, or is this going to be another 92-75 loss for Iowa on the road?
Okay, hate Dockets, right? I already brought that up.
Yeah.
I've had T-shirts made, and I'm not even kidding. I had a T-shirt made that Dockets blocked me, and I was proud of that. But Ohio State is right now, where are they at? They're at like 15. Ohio State, 14, okay? I never would have thought Ohio State would be that good this year. And guess who actually called it? Dan Dockett called it, saying that they were going to be something special. I can't remember exactly what he said. I'm going to give that guy credit. When somebody's wrong, I give him credit, and when they're right, I give him credit.
When did he say that? Right. Number one, when did he say this? And in what kind of fashion? They were picked in some polls to be 13th? And he says, well, they're not going to be 13th. I can buy that. What did he exactly say? That they were going to be an NCAA tournament team? Because if he said that, I'd even give him credit. Nobody anticipated this. Nobody thought they were going to be a tournament team. That's why Thad Matta was fired. Because Bob Smith looked at this roster, their athletic director, and Gene Smith, excuse me, and he said, this team's going to be terrible. Let's just get ahead of things. The new coach, whoever it's going to be, let's give them time to start the recruiting. Let's do that, because they looked at the roster and said it was going to be bad. So what did Dockage say?
Well, he didn't know that they were going to be very good, but then when his son went there, he was like, they're going to be awesome.
Oh, so, okay. It was more of a flippant
comment. I'm not kidding. I believe, trust me, I don't want to give this guy credit. I will find a trend sent to you. I don't want to give Dan Dockage credit. He actually saw this team in the summer and said, you're right. You're exactly right. Maybe he just said, they're going to be better than most people think. That's easy to say, right?
Which could have been, they were the 10th team in the Big Ten, and that was better than almost everybody thought. So, yeah, let's not go overboard here with the Dodgers.
That's fair. I don't want to give him credit. I'm the last guy that wants this guy to give him credit.
You love him. You love him.
I love guys that make me wake up in the morning and can't wait to talk to you to tell you what a douchebag he is. I love guys that, like, bring something to the table and make me feel something. Watching Bill Walton yesterday. Did you see him? This guy is a complete idiot, and I think I like him, and other times I hate him. Bill Walton, do you like him or hate him? I can't tell if he's joking or if he's serious. He says over and over again, offense wins championships. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think he's serious, and I kind of agree with him in the NCAA tournament. I've come around to that, and I want to talk to you about that in the future. But he said that, and I've been on this kind of kick for like 3-4 years, you know, with the offense in the NCAA tournament, thinking everybody plays defense in the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And now I hear him, like last year or this year, saying offense wins championships, or however he says that when he's swallowing his tongue and gagging on it. But it's funny, it's interesting, and people think he's joking. I think he's kind of serious. I think offense does win championships in the NCAA tournament. Now.
You got to, and guard play. And that's different than back in his day with the big guys that dominated. Now you have to have guard play to win in the NCAA tournament. All right.
Trent, what would the coaches that you talk to say about me saying this right now? If I said offense wins championships right now in the NCAA tournament, would they punch me, kick me, or just call the cops on me?
All right, let's look at it. Last year, North Carolina won the championship. They were yet to be good at both. I mean, that's what I found throughout the years. Looking at the adjusted offense and defensive numbers, you have to be good in both. You can't be a sieve on defense. You can't be bad on offense. You have to be good at both. To win six consecutive games, to win a national title, that's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. Last year, North Carolina was, let's see, 9th in adjusted offense, 11th in defense. Villanova the year before, they were 3rd in offense, 5th in defense. So,
When you do that, that's how you win, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not even necessarily talking about winning the championship. I'm talking about winning games in the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Obviously, if you're 3rd and 5th, or if you're 4th and 8th, offense, defense, efficiency, obviously, you're a stud. I'm talking about winning games, you know. You understand what I'm saying at all? Am I making sense there? You have to. I'm not just talking about the elite of the elite teams. You have to be able to put the ball in the basket in the NCAA tournament because everybody is giving their all on defense, and I don't think that's been brought up. And I think I don't know if Bill Walton is just mocking us all. If he's serious, I love that because it makes me think, Trey. Is he serious? I think he is. I really truly believe that he thinks offense wins championships in the NCAA tournament, and I agree with him. Actually, you probably won't.
Two peas in a pod. He's sitting there smoking away and loving life. You and Walton doing your thing.
God,
all right, we're running way short on time. I had 1,000 things I wanted to talk to you about today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're not going to get to it. I want to talk Cavs trade. We're going to have to save that for next
you
week.
You kidding me?
I know, but you're going to be at Hilton tomorrow. You're going to be in the front row. I'm going to be laughing. I'm going to be texting you, making fun of you if you look like a dork on TV. All right, you get to see Trae Young in person. Give the clones a shot.
They absolutely have a shot. They have a shot against everybody. That's why this is fun. This is why college basketball is fun. This is why Iowa-Michigan State was fun. Who knows what's going to happen? I can't wait to watch Trae Young. I'll be honest. I love him, and I hear all these people bashing him, and we're picking him apart, Trent, like I brought up last time. We're picking him apart. The dude can shoot it from the freaking, you know, wherever, Oklahoma City, he can shoot it from. And it gets off quick, really quick. Does he need to, like, calm down on his turnovers and getting in between the double team? Yes. Enough of that. Enough of that turnover crap. But I get really sick and tired of these arrogant, smug, know-everything basketball guys that are just picking him apart. He's a damn freshman leading the nation in points and assists.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down, Jay Billis. Calm down, Seth Greenberg. Calm down, all you guys. Seriously, he's a freshman, Trent. So he shows a little bit of frustration when he's playing against West Virginia, and we're supposed to hold that against him? Who the hell wouldn't? You're not human if you don't show a little bit of, like, holy crap, he fouled me 7 times, ref. Why didn't you call it? I'm mad. I'm angry.
All right. Well, we're going to let you settle down, all right? We'll let you settle
down. No, does that not piss you off? West Virginia fouls you every single 5 seconds.
Yeah.
They touch you. They, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they push you off your game. And so I'm supposed to think less of him because he gets a little irritated?
It doesn't happen
if
to me.
I don't
get frustrated when a guy like that gets frustrated. And that's why I thought it was great Tuesday night for the Hawkeyes when the refs were actually calling that clutch and grab garbage that Michigan State does for the first half. It was for the first part of the second half. It was great to see. And maybe they went a little overboard, but I do not like that style of defense. But Wolfgang, we're out of time. We have talked too long. We're going over a lot of time today, and that's okay because I love talking with you. We got to get more time. Let's work on that, okay?
Call Jimmy B. Give him the night off. Hey, call me back with the Cavs, LeBron. I got some serious take from that, man.
All right. We'll talk to you Monday. Be good. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, brother. See you, buddy. Bye-bye.
Wolfgang checking in with us here on Jimmy B and TC. We'll get Brinson back in here on the other side. Valentine's Day, guys, we're less than a week away. Get it done right now. Give a call over to Christopher's Fine Jewelry. Stop by. Set up an appointment. Find something great for that lady in your life. Something for sports fans, shopping for that right gift. They can help you with all of that at Christopher's Fine Jewelry. It's on Merle Hay Road, 3427 Merle Hay Road, just over by the Merle Hay Mall. Stop there. Tell them TC sent you. They'll hook you up real good. And get it done this weekend. Don't wait till the last minute. Don't wait till next week. Get it done this weekend, guys. It's Christopher's Fine Jewelry. Jimmy B joins the fray on the other side. as we take you up until 6 o'clock. We got picks coming up next. And we are back. Final segment of the week. It's my favorite one, Jimmy B, because I get to give out terrible gambling advice, and I will do it once again here today. So last week was the Super Bowl, Jim. You had the right side of it, at least as it pertains to the total. You had the over. We both had New England. That was both a loss for us.
A loss, yeah.
I had the under on the national anthem. That was a win. We had a push because, well, Jordan Spieth didn't make it to the weekend, so we didn't get to on that one.
Well, wait a minute. Wait. I knew he didn't make it to the weekend. That's why I took Ernst.
Oh, well, why didn't you say that when we were talking about it? It's a no bet, Jimmy
because,
B.
Because I figured, okay, I got him on this one. I know I'm going to win at least one.
No. It's a no bet because I bet on that before the tournament began. Okay. And that's why that was one of the props I was throwing out there. You're such a shyster.
I've been called worse. And worse by you.
Well, that's very, very true. Very, very true. And the other matchup that we had, you got the victory. Total yards by Blunt versus total yards by James White. I thought he was going to be more involved in the passing game. He did have 45 yards rushing, but only 21 receiving. So LeGarrette got you the victory there. Regardless, Jimmy B, you took the contest. Now we got to turn our attention to basketball. Iowa State, a 4.5 point underdog is all. A little bit lower, I think, than people anticipate. Cyclones getting 4.5 against Oklahoma, 1 o'clock tomorrow.
I think they can play with Oklahoma. I just don't know how they're going to defend Trey Young. It's a difficult matchup, and trust me, Oklahoma is much more than just one guy. I mean, his name is bantered about for everywhere, but Latin is a good player. The Matic kid is a good player down low on the block for Oklahoma. So if I'm given 4.5, I'm just not sold on this team. I think they'll be competitive for a while, just like what we saw at Texas Tech, and then they're going to run into difficulty again. So I'm going to take Oklahoma, and I'll give the 4.5.
You will lay the points. I'm with Kevin Lehman, who told us earlier this hour, I think the Cyclones are getting one of these two games. So I'll say they get this one. They get this one. Revved up environment. It's going to be awesome in Hilton tomorrow. I'll go on the other side. I'll take Iowa State. Let's go to then the 3 o'clock game. You and I makes their way here to the Knapp Center to take on the Bulldogs. Drake opens as a 2.5 point favorite. Who you got with the doggies and the Panthers?
Doesn't you and I beat them all the time? I mean, even if Drake is good, well, they haven't been good forever. But I mean, you and I beat them all the time with that slowdown defense. So if I'm only given 2.5, I'm going to take you and I. I think you and I will probably have a decent fan base show up. So it might be like a 60-40 crowd. So it won't be a total, you know, bulldog crowd there. So I'm going to take you and I.
You're going with the Panthers. I'll take the Bulldogs. So we're on opposite sides on each of these games. You and I, they've been bad on the road, and consistency has been a problem all season long. Speaking of consistency, Iowa has been terribly inconsistent this season as well. The Hawkeyes go to Ohio State. We'll put the line at a dozen, Jimmy B. 12 points. You got to lay it with the Buckeyes. Who are you taking, Iowa, Ohio State?
Boy, I didn't know it was going to be quite that high. I figured it might be around 8. 12 is a lot. Man, I just don't like Iowa on the road, and I know what we got out of that game and the moral victory thing, and look, it's an L. It's a loss. So I'm going to take Ohio State. After what I saw them do at Purdue and now being at home in that, what's that stupid name? Is it like Value City Arena or something like that?
Sure.
That they play in, that's it? Okay, Value City Arena. It'll be packed, and I think Ohio State beats them good.
Buckeyes big. We have our first agreement, Jim Brinson. Yeah. Iowa, it's been ugly. It's been really ugly this year, and anytime it feels like they gain any kind of momentum – It goes back the other way. 12.5, the opening number in that one. We're still both going to lay the big points and take Ohio State. I guess the one saving grace, a letdown after that win against Purdue. That's what you're hoping for if you're a Hawkeye fan. What I'm hoping for, Jimmy B, is for you to have a good weekend. All right, old man?
Thank you, pal. I appreciate that. One of the nicest things you've said to me in the many years that we have been working together, particularly since I won the football contest. So I'll take that, and I'm just going to get my fanny out of here.
That sounds good. We got high school hoops coming your way next. It's Ankeny Centennial at Waukee. Top 10 matchup on the girls' side. A good one on the boys' side as well. Conference title on the line. We got both games next right here on 1700. Have a good weekend, everybody.